Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is a Divine It Girl radio show. I am your host, Jessica Nevins, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Therese Tucker. Therese, hi.
Hi. Hello.
And we have an amazing show ahead for you today. We are talking about the real deal or fabulous fake. How to overcome imposter syndrome. And it's a big one. Therese and I talked about this the other day, and we were amazed at, you know, this is something, and I think Therese found the stats on it, that 70% of the population goes through this. And I found it to be very common as well. Like, I'll talk to people who are, like, a major expert in their field, and they're like, ooh, I feel like a fraud sometimes. And it's like, what? How could that be possible? So that's what we're digging into today. But before we get started, we're just going to ease into the show. It's, gosh, you know, we're at the end. We're heading into the end of the year here. Isn't that a little weird?
I'm trying not to go there. I find that if
okay.
I go too far.
So we won't think about that.
I just find that if I go too far into the future in my brain, then I start to get really anxious about things and it feels less manageable. So I really
I see
pull
like
it back.
This visual of like this mushroom cloud just going off above your head, like
pretty much.
Like, don't go there. Like, let's not talk about
that. Well, and it's hard not to. My daughter, who is 4 and a half, she'll be 5 in December, seems to have an internal calendar and already knows. She knows that Christmas is coming, because every morning she starts out her list. She starts up with, do you think Santa is going to give me, now she wants ballet boots. I'm like, what are ballet boots?
Ballet boots, what are ballet boots? Because I don't even know what those are. What? Tell me, what are they?
It's something she saw on one of her little educational cartoons, that one of the characters had ballet boots. So that she could, like, climb candy canes or something crazy. And I'm like, what? How do I
explain
that? I want
to climb candy canes and ballet boots.
I think what I need to do is just get a pair of boots and some satin ribbon and just stitch the ribbon on and make it look like ballet boots. And that maybe that would do it. I don't know. I don't know. This is where, as a mom, you got to get just creative. You know what I mean? Like, those are ballet boots. Yes.
Yes, they are.
Age.
And they're custom.
Totally,
they're unique.
Exactly. Santa maybe is just for you.
They're one of a kind.
I can hand stitch. I can hand stitch. I can't use a sewing machine to save my life. For some reason, that's, like, the easier way. And I still can't seem to do it. So I can hand stitch, though, so I'll be there, like, for, like, you know, 2 days stitching those darn ribbons to those boots. But if it makes her happy, I'll do it. I'll do
you
it.
You know, even better, you should tell her that they're couture, because then she'll really want them.
My daughter also seems to know about what the good stuff is already. It runs in the blood.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She's your daughter, so if you say couture, she's like, oh, they're one of a kind, and they're mine.
My daughter model poses for photos now. Like, she does duck lips. She's like,
she does.
You know, shoulder, hip. I don't know. It's like,
she stick her hip out?
She does. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You haven't seen these photos? I haven't shared with you her model poses. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so much attitude. And I'm like, where? When did you see me doing this? Because I may have done this in the bathroom when I thought I was alone. But apparently somebody was watching.
Apparently she was watching.
Hey, should we give them the call-in number in case they want to jump on board later?
Yeah, I'm going to give you guys the call-in number, and also we have a chat feature. So if you are listening to this online, you should be able to, I think, now that the chat window is open, you should be able to access it somehow. I'm not entirely sure how. Therese and I haven't tested this out yet. But you can type in your questions, and it's a live chat, and we will be checking that as well. So your call-in number is 347-855-8012, and that's 347-855-8012. So later on in the show, we will be taking questions, and, you know, this is such a meaty subject that I think have some callers.
Yes, because it affects, I think it, you know what, I would say that this is a tenet of success, actually. I don't think anyone gets past this part of the success cycle. And so I thought it was just really relevant to talk about, because I feel it. I feel it too.
I think it is really part of, especially when you're up-leveling. You know, when you really want to go big, this is what gets in your face. It's like, oh, but you can't go big. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? You're a fraud. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And then you start to shrink back, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, so one of the other tenets of success, which I definitely think, you know, that we could get into this as an episode as well, but as you start to really get successful, as you really start to assert your position, like you take a stance, become more authentic and say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, the first thing that happens is the haters gonna hate, right?
Oh, yeah, that is so true.
And in the past, like I had done, what did I do? I, for a while, had my own store. And when I say a while, I mean 3 months. I had a brick-and-mortar store.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the response I got from that was really critical. I had a lot of critical response. And it actually shut me down. This was before I knew what the success cycle looked like.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, man, I really failed. I'm really stepping on toes, and I don't understand. And I took it really personally that these people were criticizing me. And once I got into the personal growth, once I learned about the success cycle, because it is we can write a book on it called The Success. And they clarified that when you start to become more authentic, when you really get into your stance about who you are and what you're about, the first thing that comes back is like a rebuff. And that's actually a good sign. It means you're actually being effectual. You know what I mean? Like you're actually successful when you get the rebuff. I've learned to kind of switch it in my head and start to celebrate the rebuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is. It's a sign of that you've up-leveled.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing it small and safe anymore, you're actually getting out there and there's like a response back. Because the people who love and support you and are excited about you, they just kind of hold space, don't they? I mean, they show up, but they're not necessarily super vocal. I mean, and maybe they are, and it is one of those things where it's the negatives seem louder than the positives, or if you have a tendency to focus on negative criticism, like me, has in the past, seems like you kind of like wash over all the good stuff that's being said, and you really focus in on the people that aren't jiving with you. And I think that actually comes from people pleasing, which is a whole other thing that we could be talking about.
Oh, wow, yeah. That is a whole other thing. That's a big thing.
So getting back to the imposter syndrome. So what had spurred this conversation between me and Jess is I was looking through my inbox, and I subscribed to Pam Grout's blog, and she wrote E Squared and E Cubed, which are really fun books to read, and they're about manifesting and also changing your perspective. And she had talked about imposter syndrome, and she was saying that, you know, she is going to speak in Japan coming up here, and that the press release that they had put out for her was that she was one of the leading masters in her field. And she read that, and she had kind of like this disconnect moment where she was like, what? You know, like, no. You know, like inside of her there was like, that's a lie, or people, you're misleading people. You know, she wasn't, she had to have a minute where she was like, wait a second, why am I having such a backlash to it? Why do I feel so phony? And it's just part of that success cycle. And so when I brought this up to Jess, we were talking about it, I had gone through a personal situation where I met with someone who is pretty much one of my biggest critics. And they had said to me that they felt that I was, what I was doing without integrity, that I mislead people and make them, you know, believe that I'm better than I actually am. And I thought about it for a second. It made me go, whoa, you know, I got to check in. Got to check in with my life, got to check in with what I'm doing and see if that holds any truth. And so what it got me to do was write down a list. Just, she categorized it so beautifully. She called it The Real Deal, which is, you know, the name of our show, The Real Deal or Fabulous Fake. And so I took what Jess wrote. I created two categories, and I created a list of attributes that the real deals have and versus what the fakes have. And so I went down, and after I wrote this list, I checked in with it, and I looked to see, you know, how many areas I was checking in at on either side. And I'm happy to report that according to my list, I qualify as a real deal, so that felt really good. And it brought me to another point, which I had shared in my own personal newsletter yesterday, which I got such a beautiful response from. So if anybody is listening who responded back to me, thank you so much. That means the world to me. But one of the points I made is that nobody can measure your integrity for you. Nobody. Your integrity. And I think that Jess actually made this point to me at one point during our coaching, because she is my success coach. So we talk about this kind of stuff in our private sessions all the time. And one of the points that she made for me, and I really meditated on it, and it really got inside, was that your integrity is measured by what you value and your ethics. So as long as you're in alignment with your values and your ethics, and you can feel good about that, that is your integrity right there. Nobody outside of you can say, no, you don't have integrity. It's personally measured. And so once I got in alignment with that and touched base on all those things, I realized, yeah, no, I'm working with integrity. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I know that my values and my ethics are in alignment. I feel good about the work I do. And that was the answer right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to jump into this today. We've got the list here. How should we break this down? Because this is so, I'm excited about this list. I'm excited to share it.
It's a really good list.
Should we do 1 point at a time?
Yeah, let's just do 1 point at a time, and we can expound upon those. Because, I mean, there's a lot of juicy things within those points. So I'll let you go ahead with, you know, knocking down each point, and then we'll tackle them as we go forward.
Okay, so point number one, the real deals. So the real deals work with transparency, meaning that they are, there's no hidden agenda versus what a fabulous fake works in secrecy. You know, you don't really know what's going on in their lives. Where a real deal is pretty open, they're willing to share if it helps to lift somebody else up. They're willing to, for example, I'm trying to think of a good story of someone out there who is successful. Oh, Eckhart Tolle, who wrote Power of Now and A New Earth. in the beginning of A New Earth, he talks about his own journey, about writing a book. And at one point, he was a professor with tenure at a university. That was what he was doing. And he was so compelled to write this book that he quit that job and moved from, I think he was in the UK, and he moved to the United States. And at one point, he was couch surfing, writing this book, like down to his last, I don't know, whatever his nest egg or survival income was, he was right about there. And he was in a place of deep trust. Well, that is a pretty powerful story to share for somebody else who is following their dreams, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always a safe place to go. Another one that I just cropped up with is Neil Donald Walsh. I mean, he goes into sharing his whole backstory. If you are unfamiliar with his work, he wrote Conversations with God and the whole series. And he was a man who was, you know, he had the typical middle-class life. And I don't remember all the details, but he ended up at one point, I think, divorced. And homeless, like really and truly homeless, like living in a tent community. And he had to work his way back up from that. And that's
wow.
A pretty, it's a humbling story. If you go and read any of his conversations, I think it's really detailed in the first book. But he talks about it. He talks about the different struggles that he had and how he worked his way from absolutely broken down to nothing back into alignment with him, with it, himself and his purpose, and bringing these books forward. So that is a powerful tool, is vulnerability and transparency, being honest with where you're at. And people respond to that. As Jess knows, I mean, you want to chime in on that one?
Yeah, it's people, if we're looking at this, I'm just going to go into the energetic perspective of this for a minute. For all of you that are new to the show, I'm a Reiki master, so energy is something I've been working with for over a decade, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Although I'm not a practicing Reiki master anymore, I still use the techniques on the back end to look at a situation. So the thing about energy and fake versus real is that if you're going big, and, you know, Therese and I both have, you know, a public persona. We're on this show. We have clients. You know, we have our Facebook community. So we're out in front of the public. And when you are out in front of the public like that, and even if you're, you know, in a new job or something like that, if you are not in alignment with who you really are, people can see that. And they might
yep.
not necessarily go into hating mode immediately, but what will happen is they'll pull back because there's something in the energy there that they just don't trust.
Exactly.
Because something seems off, right? And they can't, like, put a finger on it. But the thing is, because, like, you're radiating out, like, ooh, this isn't really me, but I'm going to do it anyway. And people don't – there's no way to connect with a person when they're being fake. It's really hard to connect. It's, like, virtually
Absolutely.
Impossible. And
yeah.
So when you're in fakeness, so to speak, you're radiating that out. So it makes it really difficult for people to connect with you or to hear you or to get your message or to, you know, really resonate with you because they're like, huh? Or, you know, maybe that's happening because you've jumbled your words, which, you know, Therese and I have both done a million times in public.
Yes.
So that could be it too. But I'm saying just generally speaking, if you are not connecting with people, it's time to start looking at, you know, and here's the thing, is we all can shift into fabulous fake without knowing it.
True.
So that's kind of where that little element of people pleaser comes in. where we might be doing something to please someone or something, or, you know, the greater good. We think we're doing it for the greater good, but it's not aligned with who we really are or what's in our heart or what's in our soul. And so what inevitably is going to happen is it is either going to break down externally, meaning that you won't get any kind of hits or people just won't connect, or it'll break down internally on you. You'll be like, whoa, like, that just kind of hit me upside the head. So it's really interesting how that happens. And I have a little personal story to share, which is kind of so timely, right? The thing is with Therese and I, it's like when we decide that we're going to go into a subject matter for you guys out there, like we really go into it, like we live it.
Yes.
We live it and we show up. We're like, okay, here's my real world example.
Exactly.
So I have been out of corporate for a while, and I've been building up my coaching business full-time. And for the longest time, I was a part-time coach. And earlier this year, I decided to go full-time and to really serve on all levels and, you know, be speaking and doing the show. And there's so many different things that I committed to without having, you know, the traditional means of feeling safe enough to do it. I just took a leap of faith. So kind of like you're talking about, like Eckhart Tolle, right? I'm not saying that I'm Eckhart Tolle, but I'm saying that it was a leap of faith. So,
right.
You know, I'm chugging along. And over the last week, I've had these amazing downloads, and I'm putting together some really cool stuff right now that I'm going to be launching in the new year, and I've been very excited about it. And one of the things that I started doing, which you guys know about if you've been listening to the show, is I've been on this major, like, fitness challenge that I've been putting myself through. Well, I told you about the exercise part of it. I didn't tell you about the money part of it. There is a money part of it. So I've been, you know, getting fit with money as well. Well, what has ended up happening is that my money situation is completely transformed, and it's amazing. And I'm just attracting in money and opportunities. Well, I got this email yesterday from the CEO of a corporation that had interviewed me over a year and a half ago for an executive position. And it was down to the final candidate. It was me and some other gal. And he told me, he's like, yeah, you're a lock. You've got this. And then I get this email, like, 2 days later. It says, we decided to go with the other candidate. And I was like, oh. At the time, it felt, like, really devastating, right?
Yeah.
I got an email from him yesterday. That person ended up leaving for another opportunity. Are you still available? We would love to, you know, start the process again and possibly get you on board. And I'm staring at this email, and the old me was like, holy crap, like, that's a lot of money, because I know what the salary would be on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that's a lot of money. But then I got into the shower, and I was like, no, just go into the center. What does that look like for you? What would you have to give up? And I thought, I'd have to give up too much in order to take that.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer on that is no. And I was like, that isn't, I'm just saying no to an insane amount of money. And I thought, yeah. No, I am saying yes to my integrity. I am saying yes to who I'm showing up in the world as. I'm saying yes to the real deal. Because if I were to take that position, that would be me in fabulous fake mode. I wouldn't be happy.
Right.
It would just, it would be totally out of alignment, and I'd be like all secretive because I'd still be trying to do this show from my office. Like, let me shut the door. Yeah.
Every Thursday morning at 10, you're mysteriously unavailable.
Right, exactly. So that's what I'm saying is it's like taking that position would put me in fabulous fake completely, mm-hmm. completely. So, you know, it became very clear to me that the answer to that question, to his question, is no. Because it's not in alignment for me anymore. Yeah, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago it would have been, but not now. And the thing is, you will get tests. You will, as you're standing in your real deal, you'll still get tests on it. Like, universe will be like, really? sure about that? That was yesterday. It's like, real deal, Favo's fake.
It's
take a
true.
Look, take a look. What is it? What is it?
Well, and it was kind of like, I mean, I don't believe the universe tests us, but there was an opportunity there. It was like, look, you know, do you believe in what you're doing? Do you believe that you could create that kind of wealth with what you're doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you abandon it for the cash, for the sense of security? Would you abandon everything
you're
building?
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it, is I had to dig in deep, and I thought, no, I am betting on myself.
See,
I believe in
go.
Myself to generate that kind of income doing what I love.
Exactly.
Because just, I found myself getting really sad, like, because it's like, okay, what would that look like if you took this job? It's like, I'd have to give up the radio show, and there's our lovely program, and hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break to tell you about our program. No, really, there's this amazing program that Therese and I put together, Creating a Red Carpet Life. And you can still jump in. Today's the last day, though, and then we're shutting the doors. And it's not going to be available again. I mean, we'll have it available as a download, but the beauty of the way the program is structured right now is that you get us live. You get us live in instruction, and then we have a total Q&A where you can ask anything, and we really go above and beyond. And there's also a lot of bonuses that come with this time around. And those will be gone. So if you want to get in, you can get in today. Today's the last day, and there's a link in the description of this show. Anyway, but I thought about I'd have to rework things, you know, and like once again, like would I have to like work from home on Thursdays? Like I was thinking about this and I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. Like why are you even going here? It's not worth it. And I had to realize that it wasn't worth it and that I believed enough in myself to generate that on my own and to generate it sooner than I would if it was a structured salary. Because, you know, you get with a salary, you get a certain amount every month. So I was like, no, you know, I'm just going to take the lid off that. And I thought, if I take that salary, I looked at it in a bigger perspective. I'm like, I'm actually limiting myself.
That's true.
Because it puts me in a box. Not only does it put me in a box as far as what I'm able to do with, you know, the show and the program and my clients, but it also puts me in a box financially. And I thought, no more boxes. I'm done with that. And then I started to look at the actual number, and I was like, that's actually too low for me now. So I started to, it really got me really centered on my belief in myself.
Yeah.
And that's when the real deal kicked in, and I was like, oh, I see how this works. Okay. So, you know, me actually taking that position would be the fake. That would be the total fake.
Well, and this actually, your story dovetails really good into another bullet point, which is a couple down. But I put that the real deal is motivated by purpose, where the fabulous fake is motivated by something external, like attention or maybe the money.
Mm-hmm.
But purpose is what drives a real deal.
Yes.
And so you had tapped in, and you took a look that, you know, this job, this possible opportunity that would offer you a sense of security, and really and truly, you and I both know that's an illusion of security because they could pull it away at any moment. We both experienced that.
Completely.
Exactly. So it's an illusion of security that they're offering, but is it tied to your purpose? Is it? I mean,
when I looked at it, I was like, yeah, okay. It's in alignment with, you know, me and my business head, right? So it's in alignment with...
So it's in alignment with your skills, but what about your purpose? That's the difference,
see,
right?
That's the thing, it wasn't in alignment with my purpose. It wasn't in alignment with my heart center at all. It was so far off the mark that it was like, okay, it's really clear now.
So a real deal person is motivated by their heart center. They're motivated by what they feel called to do, whether it's some people feel called to be a child care expert. You know, some people feel called to work with money, you know, mm-hmm. whether it be on some level of banking or something. And they feel called to do that. Like, they're like, I understand it and I feel a passion about it. It doesn't matter what it is. If garbage disposal is a passion for you, that's a purpose.
Right.
I'm not trying to be flippant about this, but I just want to say that, you know, purpose doesn't always look like somebody who is becoming an entrepreneur and has
right.
to go way far off the mark. Your purpose can align with a pre-existing job.
I mean, there might be people out there that are, you know, servers, like waitresses. You know, they love to do it. They absolutely love to do it. They have fun doing it, you know, like a cocktail waitress. They have fun doing it. They enjoy serving others, and they enjoy the interaction, and that's for them. That's an alignment, and it makes them tremendously successful. Yeah.
I see the lady at the, like, the ma and pa shop, you know, like that classic waitress character you see in movies, you know, she's like
yes.
the woman with the heart of gold, but she's like
yes.
sitting in pies. But that's like what she loves. And she gets
yep.
to sit there and talk to people and engage. And if that's joy, that's purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is a fabulous fake is someone who's using their head, they're strategizing, right?
Yeah.
They're motivated by a strategy. I want to get this, so I'm going to do this to get it. Right.
Right.
So motivated by some kind of strategy or plan that has nothing to do with their purpose. You know, maybe in truth they want to communicate with animals, but they want to be like, they also want to have a lot of money and be, I don't know, super famous. I don't. I'm just throwing some random ideas out. I'm just saying that they're. If you want to communicate with animals, do you have to be, you know, the next, you know, crocodile hunter guy? No, you don't. You really don't.
Next Steve Irwin.
You know? Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, you really don't. I mean, unless that's a passion, but if you're doing it to be the next, you know, famous animal person, that's not motivated by passion, that's strategy.
Right.
You know?
Completely. And, it's in a perfect example. It's like, look at this show. Like, I started this show as a way to be able to help people. And then, you know, I had Therese on as a guest co-host initially, and she was just such a perfect fit that it became, you know, us together on this show. And it's, you know, she comes here with the same motivation that I do. We're here to help you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like no one's paying us to do this show.
We're doing this out of purpose.
You know? What?
If you took that job and you were gone, I'd be like, no!
Exactly. Well, really, I seriously got sad. Like, thinking about it, I was like, oh, my Thursdays would be so sad. Like, it just completely did not feel right. So, you know, this show, in its inception, was motivated completely by purpose. It was
yeah.
motivated completely to give and to serve our audience and to be there for you guys. Because even, you know, in the times when you're not calling in, you know, there's some of you out there that, you know, maybe, and this is what we hope, is that one of the things we say connects and that it makes you feel like you're on your right path. That's really what we're here to do. And so, you know, even like looking at The Real Deal, The Fabulous Fake, there are people out there that start shows just so that they can hope to get audiences that they can, you know, be all famous for and all that. So it's kind of like Therese was saying, it's like, what's your motivation? Your motivation
right.
can tell you a lot about whether it's a fake or maybe an ego-motivated decision, or if it's something coming from your heart, which really connects more deeply into your soul, that is more of guidance into this is really the path you're supposed to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, that leads me into another point. Actually, that's perfectly dovetails again with another point on the list, which is real deals. They're aware that they are working with a higher power. And what I mean is that they realize that what they're creating didn't start in their head, but they're not the source, that they're working with source energy or a higher power or God or universe, whatever you want to call it. We are aware that this impulse to do this show with you is being given to us, and we're being guided to do it because we always tap in with divine energy. We always check in. That's how we get our topic, as we sort of meditate on it. And if one of us pings first, we tell the other one, and then we get a yes or a no, like if that person feels in alignment with it too.
Right.
And then that's how we move forward. So we're aware that these topics were sort of gifted to us. We were being guided to focus on this week. And then, like Jess said, they gave us great examples. They were like, okay, and here's your worksheet, you know, meaning what's going to come up in your life. Here,
exactly. Here's your personal worksheet. Go for
right?
it.
Right? So,
well, it's the whole walk your talk, right? I had a real life example.
It is. And I've heard other famous artists and mostly musicians talk about it, but I've heard artists say this too, where they're aware that the music didn't come from them. It came through them, okay? The painting didn't come from that person. It came through that person, meaning that you become the instrument through which the universe works. And a real deal is aware of that on some level. They realize that they're instrumental. It's the St. Francis Assisi quote, make me an instrument of thy peace. Isn't that it? Lord, make me an instrument
yes.
of thy peace.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah, me too. It's from the prayer of St. Francis, I think.
I think it is. I remember learning it in school. I learned it when I was studying opera in high school. I studied to be an opera singer. That was one of those moments in my life where I'm like, oh, I wish I had extended that a little longer. But
that's really cool.
There was a song that had that they actually made the prayer into a song. And I just remember that little bit of it always drifts in my mind. And I love it because I feel like it's a centering thought. Makes me an
Sarah
instrument
McLaughlin
of like
has a beautiful version of that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
I'd love to listen to that. But that is a tenet that someone who's a real deal, they get it on some level. Whether they're able to verbalize it or not, they realize that something higher is working with them and through them. Versus a fabulous fake who is believing that they're the creator of it all. You know?
Yeah.
And so that kind of what happens there is that there's the well, if you will, empties out really fast and doesn't replenish. Because whatever was there inside a fabulous fake was given to them through source energy, but they're claiming it as their own. They're like, that's when they get a little bit and then they feel empty after it. After that initial idea comes out, there's nothing else in there because they're believing that they put it in themselves, rather than understanding that it was channeled through them in some way.
Well, and I just want to make a note as far as like the channeling through, and you mentioned, you know, like the musician, right? This is, in, once again, this is just a little plug for what's to come, is 2 weeks from now, we will be starting our Invoking the Muse series. And we have three amazing musicians lined up for each week that we're going to be interviewing. And we are kicking it off with Julia Thornton. She is the percussionist and harpist for Rod Stewart. And before that, yeah, I know. Before that, she worked with Brian Ferry and Roxy Music as well. And on top of all of it, she's a yoga teacher. So she's...
How cool.
Yeah, she totally knows what it feels like to be a vessel, to be a channel, and to just allow that to come through. Because I think also another thing about the fabulous fake is they try and control. There's no, you know, when that energy's coming through, there's no let go. It's like, oh, but it has to look like this. And the energy's like, whoa, wait, that's not what we had in mind. So and it ends up getting forced instead of in a state of allowance. And with Real Deal, it seems there's more allowance than forcing. And with Fabulous Fake, it's more forcing than allowance. So, you know, you see performers out there. You know, you can look at these shows where people like audition live, like The X Factor or The Voice or, you know, American Idol. And there are people that they get up there on stage and you're just like, you don't connect with them at all. Now, it's not that they're fake, but there's something in them that is not in alignment with that particular show or that particular song or that particular medium. The channel is off, in other words. And so the Real Deal or the Fabulous Fake, like the people that you connect with, that's the real deal for them, whether it's that show or the song or the style of music. They've just channeled it brilliantly. They've opened themselves up and they just kind of let go, you know, and people thought that.
Yeah. And I was actually, it's so interesting because it's the way that I made these bullet points on this list, and we're jumping around, but this actually ties perfectly into another point, which is that with the Real Deal, when you're in alignment, when you are motivated by purpose, it's your work, whatever it is you're doing, it just flows to you. There, it's like so easy, right? It's,
mm-hmm.
In fact,
yeah,
that sometimes throws me off. In the beginning, it really threw me off, especially when I started working with Jess and we were talking about structuring my business plan. And I had these beliefs that I had to do a few, like for instance, regarding my fine art. There were some areas that I had seen other people's paths with fine art and what they were doing to be successful, and some of those didn't feel so good to me. And I was like, but I have to do it because it's part of the path. And she's like, why? Why do you have to do it? And I'm like, well, because that's what you do to be successful. She's like, no, that's what they did to be successful. Why do you have to do it? And my answer, I think, was, well, because then it would be too easy. And she's like, yeah. So I had this real belief that it had to be a struggle. If you're going to be successful, there's got to be struggle. And there's a big difference. There's always work. It's never that there's not work, but there's work with passion that you can be there for 5 hours and you're like, how about a what now? It's 5 hours later. Like, you don't realize it. I've done that.
Yeah, me too. That was this week for me.
Right. Or you can have that struggle where it's like every 10 minutes goes by and you're like, oh my God, it's only been 10 minutes. You know, you're like, oh God, I have to keep going. And so it was really interesting, the idea that it doesn't have to be a struggle, that you can actually have success without struggling with it. And so the point is that with the Real Deal, when you're in your work, when you're led by, motivated by purpose, your work flows to you. It might feel easy, like, wow, this is so, yeah, I can do that. Oh, yeah, I'll take that. That feels easy. It's like I have time for it. I want to do it. I can put in those hours. All that information is flowing to me. A fabulous fake is really struggling with it. It's like they have to pull the energy to them. I forget what part of a successful artist's career I was looking at, and I was like, it was, I love to do illustration. And I know that there are a lot of successful artists out there who are making a comfortable living, who are, you know, they take on a lot of, I wouldn't say commission work, but they're doing work where they're illustrating someone else's ideas. And whenever I get into that, if I feel too confined by someone else's ideas, it shuts me down creatively. Like, I just am not the kind of artist who's good with that much structure. I need more freedom. I need to allow whatever's coming through, because I channel a lot of my art. I go into, like, a trance state, and I just let whatever wants to come out, come out. That's what how I work as an artist. And so when I have too many parameters put on me, my brain, like, clamps down on my energy. And I start to question everything, you know, like, well, is this good? Am I doing it right? Are they going to like it? And I'm trying to assume, I start assuming them looking at it going, oh, that's weird and this is off and that's not what I thought. And it just shuts me down creatively. And so that would be an example of me being a fabulous fake, is like really trying to compete in this area where I have no passion to do it. I only do it because I feel obligated. I feel this obligation that, well, if I'm going to really try to be a successful artist, I have to do this path. That was part of my thinking, that somehow I was being irresponsible by not going there. But it wasn't in alignment with me. And I was really struggling against that, and literally struggling. Like the idea of working within such confined parameters, and then on a deadline on top of it, because when you start working on that professional level, of course you've got deadlines, especially mm-hmm. let's say it was like a book jacket illustration. They need that by a certain point in time. So you have right. to deliver under a lot of pressure. And some people, they do beautifully with that, and those are the ones that are getting paid to do it right now. If I would try to go there, would just be having constant migraine after migraine, trying to fit into this box that I do not fit into, and I would be a fabulous fake. And so in one of our first initial coaching sessions, she was like, you got to let that go. That's not your path. And I felt such relief. I'm like, oh, I don't have to do that? She's like, no. What? Who said that? I'm like, I guess it was me. So you got to look at that. Because, and Jess made such a good point earlier, that we all can go back and forth between these two. And we both gave you an example of areas where we can easily slip into being a fabulous fake versus sticking with our authenticity. So here's the thing. When she told me that I didn't have to go there, here's what happened to me at first. Other than the relief, what came after that was like, well, I don't know. I've never seen anybody do that. And if I haven't seen someone do that, then I don't know if it's successful. And that's where trust comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to trust it. We're each different people on this planet. You know, we have our own unique energy signature. What makes you think that what works for, you know, energy A is going to work for energy B, that your own path looks a certain way, and that the way you know if you're on path or not is if there's ease and grace. If you're struggling, that means there's resistance. And resistance are like the beautiful buffers. It's like the boundaries. It makes me think of like a bowling ball going down the alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, you know when the kiddies get those like inflatable gutter buffers?
Oh, yeah.
So those help the ball stay in the center of the alley. And so resistance is like those inflatable buffers, and your ball rolls into it, and it's like, boing, bounces back. It's like, nope, can't go that way. Keep going this way. So that, once you realize that, that feeling of struggle and resistance is just telling you, nope, you're not going to go that way. You need to go this straight direction. You can relax, and you start to like feel good about resistance. Whenever it shows up, like I'm sure, Jess, you felt good when you like tapped in and looked at all the possibilities of this job and you started feeling resistance about it. It kind of told you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It absolutely did. It helped me to get really present to what I want and what I want to create, provided I stay in my real deal. And what that looked like is me, you know, taking like all of my chips and placing the bet on me. And it's like, okay, I'm all in. And, you know, I don't know about you, Therese, but for me, that's probably one of the hardest bets I've ever made. To be like, I'm putting it all on
it
you.
Is.
I don't know why that is, but it really was, and that was where I came to. I was like, I'm going all in. You know, it's like all
well,
chips on
tell
me.
You, in many sessions when I'm channeling my spirit team, one of the things that they said, which is exactly what Jess just said, is that you have to imagine. They're like, look, if you're not putting all the chips on you, if you're not putting 100% of the bet on you, what you're doing is you're splitting your energy, right? So what they're saying is you want to be successful, put 100% of your energy into what you're trying to create. If you're splitting it, right, and you're putting half of your energy on the safety, you know, like I'll give it half of my attention, but half
right.
of it is that I'm actually also betting that I'm going to fail. So what are you doing? You're negating all bets, really. You're going to come out. We're basically telling energy, I'm going to stay where I am, right? Because it's
mm-hmm.
like cross-canceling each other.
Yep.
You know,
that's exactly what
so,
it is.
And sometimes we put all of our bets into the safety, right? Our safety area. We're like, well, this is what I've been told, and this is what, you know, I know to be true, and everybody else in my life has been saying, you know, you can't do this other thing because it's too risky. And so actually all of your energy is going into this is not going to work, and what happens doesn't work. But at least you got an outcome. So energy is saying, put all the bets on you, which is what Jess just did. She had a chance to do a split, and she took that, and she said no, and she moved it all in. She went all in on her. So the outcome is inevitable. It has to work out in her favor because all of her energy went in that direction. It's a full commitment. So if you want to see something succeed, if you want to see it follow through, if you want to see it level up, you have to realize what you're doing with your energy. Are you holding any part of yourself back because you're waiting for the other shoe to drop? Are you not going to fully trust it because you've been told a lot of stories that it doesn't work? You know, you need to look at how your energy is working. If you're staying stuck, you're probably split. In fact, you are split. I'm just going to make a definitive statement there. You're split.
Mm-hmm.
You got to move your chips over. And that can be scary, and it is a constant activity, okay? Because at any time, Jess could get off the phone with us today and be like, go back to the split. She could. It's a constant choice.
It is a constant choice from moment to moment.
Right, and it'll gain momentum, so it'll get easier to make that choice as she keeps making it. Right? So it's like you want to imagine a mountain peak, right? In the beginning, if you've been splitting your energy and you haven't been going all in, when you first start to go all in, it's like climbing up a mountain. And so it's going to be like constant attention, constant awareness as you're going up this mountain. At one point, you'll hit the peak, right? And the peak is, I've done it enough that as you go down the mountain, it becomes easier. You just naturally put your energy there. You just wake up and naturally put it in your favor constantly until, and then it's done. And it's like after you hit the peak, that's what they call the tipping point, and then the outside world starts to reflect it back to you. That's your, what would you call that? Ascension into success. So it's
yeah,
ever tipping point, outside world reflecting. Yeah.
It's that way with anything, any goal that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
There's going to be resistance
true.
That comes up. It's just natural. It's part of the natural process. So it's more of, you know, figuring out your alignment and figuring out what's real for you off. And that's where the fabulous fake is usually living, is where things feel off.
And looking, staying in the la la la, in terms of energy. I got tongue-tied for a second. In terms of energy, the fabulous fake is usually closed off and judgmental, right?
Yep.
So if I had come to Jess with my idea of where I'd like my art to go, but I had these preconceived ideas, which I did, about what successful artists do, and she comes back at me with, no, you don't. And I'm closed off and judgmental to that and saying, well, you don't know because you're not an artist, so how can you say that? You know, like, then I'm stuck. I'm stuck in fabulous fake mode. My energy, it has gone static and shut down. The real deal stayed open and curious. You know, they're the ones who like to hypothesize and like to explore the what if. What if she's right? What if it doesn't matter what I'm doing for a business because she's a business and success coach? What if I just trust that? What would happen? What would happen if I just follow the formula that she's giving me and move forward with that? How does that feel? That is a major energy difference between real deal and fake. So if you find that you're getting feedback from others or the outside world or just, you know, the universe is giving you feedback on what you're doing and try something different. And your response is, nope, that's not going to work. That's closed off. That is not flowing. That is static. That's fabulous fake. Then you know, okay, maybe I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be stuck here. So I'm willing. I'm going to be curious and willing and open to this other suggestion. I'm going to put a little trust in it. I'm going to give it a try, right?
It's okay for you to have, you know, an element of this feels weird, this feels uncomfortable, mm-hmm. this feels shaky. And in those moments, it's really important because you might have some doubt in that moment. And it's hard. I've found for me personally, it's kind of hard to find trust in that moment. So what you do is you leverage someone else's belief. Because if I am, like, freaking out about something and I call Therese and I say, this is the situation, I'm not sure that this is right, and if it's really spot on for me, and, you know, she knows me well enough now that she can say, but that's spot on for you. I believe in you. And it's like, okay. And if you can mm-hmm. leverage someone else's belief, it'll actually help to kick you into your own belief. Until you're
right.
strong enough to stand in your own belief. But it's like that's the beauty of having, you know, best friends or coaches or loved ones who know the real you, because they'll be able to be like, yeah, that really is you. I believe in you. I know you feel a little shaky right now, but you've got this. It's like you can just leverage that one person, it can actually keep you in real deal mode.
And that also, just to reiterate, that's the importance of having a tribe around you. There are people who love us very much in our lives who are terrified. They're terrified. You know, if you have a lot of family or friends around you who are also in small mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have big dreams, but they're not going after it because it's not safe, because they're stuck in a... you know, they're just not connecting. They're not connecting to their trust or their higher self. They're not open. They're closed off. And they're like, this is the way life is, period. Anybody who's like giving you a this is how life is, period statement is playing small. That's not the person that you want to entrust your tender desires with, right? Your heart's desire, your soul purpose. You want to hold on to that little baby and find a group of people who are doing something similar to you, meaning they are investing in their personal growth, or they're trying to grow a business, or they are trying to write their first book, whatever it is, you know, they're budding artists maybe, or they want to, you know, become a personal speaker, something. Find the group that's doing that, and that is who you share your passion with. Because
mm-hmm.
those are the ones who are like, yep, you can do it. And those are the ones who are also going to inspire you. with their own journey. And you can support them. It's a reciprocal relationship that's building each other up. And that's another point of the real deal. Real deals love to lift others up and see others succeed. They realize that somehow their own success is connected to that other person's success. They see that there's an interconnectedness in this world, and that somebody else making it through, moving up and doing it, is actually showing you that you can do it too. They get that. A real deal gets that. The fabulous fake feels threatened by others' success. They're stuck in lack mode. And they're thinking that there's only so many pieces of the pie, and if Jeff gets my piece of the pie, there won't be any pie for me. So they don't want you to succeed, not because they don't love you or care about you, but because they're genuinely worried that there's not going to be enough. And maybe, just maybe, a small part of them is like, yeah, but if you do it, then there won't be any room for me to do it. That's smaller thinking, right?
It is, yeah. It absolutely is a smaller thinking. And, you know, the thing is that if I can get really philosophical on this and go into the whole, you know, we're all connected. And the thing is, when someone stands up and they're being the real deal and they're headed in their direction for whatever they were put on this planet to do, and they're really starting to make some forward movement and have some success, the thing is, that actually adds to humanity. It does not detract.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually can inspire someone else to say, well, if they did it, then maybe I can too. And it actually sends out a shockwave. So it actually can lift someone else up. And there's
absolutely
always enough of everything out there. That's the thing. And so it's really, like Therese said, it's really important that whoever you're surrounding yourself with, or even what you're taking in, and I'm talking about, you know, on the radio, on TV, listening to, you know, like overhearing a conversation, you have to have a really good filter, because, you know, a lot of society, as far as the media goes, is still really entrenched in fear. And so they perpetuate that whole lack thinking.
Right, and
it's,
well,
not,
fear is more exciting, right? It's more titillating,
right,
to be scared.
It is. And it's like, because it's dramatic. And you know, they're selling things that aren't real. So it's, you know, because it's just like the whole thing with like reality TV, which is hilarious because there's nothing real about it. You know,
no,
most of it's scripted.
It's so fake. It's so fake. So,
right, and it's all for the drama, though, right?
But
because
when,
if you putting our own lives on there would be too boring for the general public.
there are
good parts, but for the most part,
right,
well, dramatic parts.
And, you know, some of us, like I come from a family where drama is highly valued. But something I've learned about myself over the last year is that some people don't need all that drama. I'm like, but apparently one of my old patterns is, if things are going too smooth, I got to shake it up because there's got to be drama somewhere. You know, it's like life isn't life without drama. And what I've learned is that, you know, I've come to accept that there's a part of me that loves the drama. So you just have to find a healthy place to put it. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they talk about people who have a lot of anger, it's like you can't make the anger go away. You just need to figure out a healthy way to express it. You
right.
know, whether it's like, you know, running your butt off or
kickboxing.
I
used to have a lot of anger and angst, and that's how I got rid of it, was through martial arts and kickboxing.
See, but that's healthy, right? So it's like it's
yeah.
transmuting. And
yeah.
so the drama, the need for drama, or the need for things to just be like so hard or something like that, you have to realize that that's probably an energy. You can't just be like, stop being there. Don't do that. No.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No, we got to transmute it. We got to change it into something else. I mean, I studied acting for years. I have a degree in acting. That's where my drama, you know, that needs
that's
to be on
stage. That's where you use your drama.
That's where I need my drama. Okay?
Yeah.
Or, you know, we, Jess and I have a little series that we started, which is just crazy, called Seriously
Yeah, we
Serious.
Need to pick that back up, by the way.
Oh, we will.
We've been a
we
little
will.
Busy this month, but or in September, but we will pick it back up, I swear.
But we need an outlet to be completely ridiculous, because this show,
yes.
we allow ourselves to have fun, but Jess and I can get just downright stupid funny, just stupid.
Yes.
And the thing is, instead of
we
being like,
well,
we gotta, instead of exercising that out of us and be like, can't be there, we're like, no, we just need an outlet for this. We just need a place where this can go, and we're like, yep, did it, got it out of our system. Now we can move on to something more serious. Whatever you're struggling with that you are putting in a negative light, just know that it's not bad. It's part of you, and it wants to be expressed. And you might actually get a way to express it where it actually benefits you in a big way. So allowing that to happen is a real gift you can give yourself. Right? There's no part of us that is wasteful. I mean, one of the things that my guides always talk to me about is how efficient they are, right? The universe is a very efficient place. I think I said this last week, that they love, you know, twofers and BOGOs, you know, buy one, get one free.
Yeah, we were talking about the universe loves BOGOs.
they love a good bargain. But they don't create anything that is unnecessary or excessive. Everything has a purpose. Everything. So even these shadow aspects of ourselves that might show up, okay, they can show up as a fabulous fake if we're not honoring these parts of ourselves, and then also trying to utilize them in a healthy way. Like going to a martial arts class if you're angry is a really healthy way to use it. Because what does martial arts teach you? It teaches you discipline,
mm-hmm.
right? It shows you how you can have a certain kind of energy and transform it into something else, right? It creates a sense of mastery. I mean, people who are martial arts black belts are masters, right?
mm-hmm.
And they can do things with their body and energy that most of us are unaware that we're able to do. So some of these bullet points that we're bringing up about a fabulous fake can be transmuted. You know, if you find that you're hitting some of the bullet points in that area, we're not giving you this so that you can be down on yourself. We're giving you this so that you can transmute it. If you're stuck there, you're not stuck. You just need to, it is a free-form parameter, if you will, where you can look at it and you're like, yeah, I have been making the same choice over and over, basically because I've been afraid. I've been afraid that what I really want, I won't get, or I don't deserve it, or it's too radical, that I'm going to lose people. That's one thing, you know, like the authenticity part of it. Some of us are more out there than others just by nature. I'm pretty out there. some of my friends would consider me woo-woo. I know my family does. My family is like, where did she go? She's just like, they're like, we can't go there with you. It is just too out there, you know, which is okay. And so as far as deep relationships with some family members, yeah, I may have lost. They can't relate to me. But you know what I have? I've gained so many beautiful relationships by really embracing my own authenticity. I found my tribe. I found the people who share my experiences with me, who work with energy the same way I work with energy. And it has been so beautiful, and it has allowed me to more fully embrace myself. So yeah, there's a little bit of pushback. When you go into more authenticity, like we said, the first thing that comes up is a lot of pushback on you. Like, that's not who you are, or
mm-hmm.
that's weird. You're weird now. I can't relate to you.
You're weird now.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, oh, I got that. I mean, as soon as I revealed to the majority of people who've known me for a long time that I had intuitive psychic abilities and mediumship skills, they're just like, yeah, that's weird. Or they're like, prove it right now.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
I love that one.
Yeah. Read my mind right now. What am I thinking?
Well, I used to get that when, you know, studying acting and singing and dancing. They're like, do something right now. Sing right now. I always hated that. Sing something
oh,
right
yeah.
now. But what? I don't work like that. Dance, monkey, dance. So, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. It's very true. Because I've had people be like, dance right now. Just dance. Just show us something. Like, this is
exactly.
not an audition. I'm not auditioning for you right now.
Well, and is that why you do it? I mean, like, I don't do it for other people. I do it because it's a part of me that it feels good to connect to. So it's like if you're going about your day and you're drinking a coffee and you're sitting down talking to someone and they're like, dance something right now. Just dance something. And you're just like, why would I?
Exactly. Well, I'm like in jeans, you know, like something that's so not conducive.
Yeah, so it happens. And you know what? Part of it is just learning how to laugh it off and realizing
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there. Whenever you become more authentically you, what happens is it really shines a light on the other person. And if
yeah.
they're not living their authentic self, then they kind of like project back onto you. So they want the spotlight off of them. And it's not like you're doing something to them. In fact, you're just living your life as you would. But the
right.
thing is, you are such a light, okay? When we become more authentically ourselves, it's like we have gone from 20 watts to 100 watts, right? And they're hanging out at 20 watts still. And you're this beautiful 100-watt light bulb, and it is you're casting light just by being you onto them. And they're looking around going, God, I don't want to look at this. I wasn't planning on looking at this. Being around you makes me uncomfortable, so I'm projecting my discomfort onto you. I'm going to make it about you because I don't want to look at me.
It can also have another effect, though. It can have the positive effect of it, you know, your light shines so bright that they start to, you know, maybe they're on the verge of changing, you know, the way they're being. Or maybe they know that they're out of alignment. Maybe they want alignment. And you being your authentic, real self actually can make them feel like it's safe to take that leap. Because they can
yeah.
look at you and be like, well, they're living their authentic life, and they're look at how happy they are. Like, I guess I can have that too. And it can actually inspire others and push them into the direction of their real deal. And then, you know, then you start seeing them, like, you know, totally killing it in their real deal. And you're like, whoa, look at you. So it's like you will have, like Therese said, you'll have the people that shrink away and they'll get really threatened by it.
Yeah.
And then you will have others that become inspired by it so much that they want to meet you at your level. And that's when
True.
It becomes really fun. You know, so it can go either way. It can go, you know, where you have someone that's just like, I can't do this. This is too intense. Like, I can't be around you. And you will have that. It's not that you won't, but that's the thing is you have to just let that person go and go through their process because they could either, you know, stay where they are, which they might, or they can maybe take a tiny little growth step, and that's even better than taking no growth step, you know?
Well, and
so,
it might be further down your road that they turn around,
exactly.
too. You never know. There's a great meme out there that says at first they'll ask you, why you're doing it, and later they'll ask you how you did it.
Exactly.
Yes. So staying on your path and doing it for you, right? We're not doing it to change those people. It's none of our business.
No, that's none of our business. Right.
Yeah.
All we can do is in any given situation, you know, whatever it is, even an upsetting one, the only control you have is over yourself and how you react to the situation.
Exactly. Exactly. And that brings us to the last point that I had made on my list. And I feel like there's so many more points that we could make. And if you guys out there in radio land have other aha moments regarding real deals versus fabulous fakes, share them on our Facebook page, Divine Real Radio.
Yeah, share them. Share them all week long because, I mean, this is really fun stuff. And we've created that community to be there for you. So that you
Absolutely.
Can feel safe sharing, and you know, and we're happy to support you in your journey. So yes, please share. We would love to read them.
But I'm sure that some of you out there are having some big ahas that the rest of us, including Jess and I, would love to hear it. I'd love to keep adding to this list because for me, it's a great. I'm using mine as a check-in list. You know, am I on track or am I going off track? This is
right.
a great way to check in and be like, yep, on track. Keep going.
Well,
so
and maybe we can post that list for our audience on the Facebook page.
Post that list.
So that they have it as a resource, you know, because this is stuff that does take some time to sink in. So you may need time with it. And that's okay, you know, and even if you come back, you know, a few weeks from now and say, I just listened to the show or it just sunk in and I want to share, that's great too. Take
yeah.
the time
I'll
that you need with
I'll see
if
I can make a pretty list to post. You know, I like to make
list.
It pretty.
Yeah, see, Therese and I, we don't put anything out unless it's pretty.
Exactly.
We just can't. That's our real deal, right?
Exactly. That's part of it.
Uh-huh.
So one more point that we have on our current list, which I'm hoping will keep growing, but is that a real deal likes to make sincere connections versus a fabulous fake who is just going for the numbers, like how many people
yeah.
they can connect with. And I was thinking about this more from maybe like a business point of view. I was thinking about
mm-hmm.
it from a social media point of view.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tenets that I really subscribe to is that I would rather have a small list of people that I'm actually sincerely connecting with than some large list of people.
I agree completely. Yeah.
That has no connection to me and is purely just for numbers. So whenever I see the ads and things that are talking about really blowing up your list or get 5,000 new followers or blah, 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 I'm always like, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me if there isn't a real connection between us. Because I'm hoping that the work that I'm doing is helping other people. That is what I'm passionate about. I want people to realize that they are more deeply connected to the universe and to source and to each other than they may realize. That there is so many internal talents that they're not tapping into. These are the people that I'm interested in connecting to who want to know that. You know, if I'm getting a list of 5,000 people, they might not even know what I do or even like it or care. I would much rather have an intimate list of people who I'm having real connections with than just have all these numbers and saying, look at all my numbers.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a personal point for me, I think,
mm-hmm.
because I do believe that as you're making these personal connections and as you're moving through your authenticity and building it up, it'll grow on its own the way it's supposed to. I don't feel like we need to manufacture a list. And that might be, I don't know, maybe this comment that I'm making might rub some people the wrong way, which is not my intention, but, you know, because there are power in numbers, and I get that. But what I'm more interested in is making an actual difference. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like that if that's what my focus is, then it'll expand on itself. You want to take this one because you're the business coach, and so this is a little different in a business area. So I'd like to hear your take on it.
It really depends on the person, and it depends on what they want to achieve and how they want to achieve it. So Yes, I am a business coach, an intuitive business coach and success coach. However, that being said, I don't believe in the numbers game either, because the numbers game can be a real trap. And you can push and push and push and not get where you need to be if you're just looking at the number. If you are pulled by your heart center to say, I want to create this free resource, or I want to create this program, or I want to, you know, engage with my Facebook audience, the chances are your numbers will tick up because you're in alignment and you're following your heart. So that's actually more effective as far as connecting with your audience and having your audience be a part of you as you move forward and expand. They'll expand with you. So I think there is a little bit of a danger in numbers and just being like so focused on it has to be this number. I think when we focus on it has to be this way, that's forcing energy.
Yes.
And when we are in, yeah, the number might be lower, but you have to look at, you know, the engagement. And are you contributing to people? If it's a lower number and you're contributing and mm-hmm. people are gaining something from it, and that's really what you want, that's your heart's desire, then that's success right there. If you have a huge list and, you know, maybe you're getting like one or two people engaging in it, and you're not really feeling it and you don't feel like you're contributing, then that's actually going to put you in a less powerful energetic state. So that's how I look at it. You know, I've spent, you know, many decades in the business realm because I am my father's daughter. I'm the daughter of an executive. So I was groomed for this from the time I was born. So I came out of the womb and there were two things. I followed my daddy's path. He was an executive by day and he was a musician by night. And those were the paths that I followed. And I ended up at, seriously, like the minute I graduated from high school, I started my own business in the music industry, managing artists. And so I launched my own business and I just dove in. And it was about heart. It wasn't about numbers. So that's where my own lesson came from. And I found to be when I was in corporate jobs, there was a bit of a disconnect because they're like, you have to hit this number. You have to hit it. You have to hit it or go above it. And it's like, oh, it creates so much pressure. And if you're not authentically aligned with whatever it is, aligned with it, it makes it really difficult to hit the number. So I found that to be something that I was like, I don't know if this is – it's not a cookie cutter. That's the thing. With you ladypreneurs out there, there is no cookie cutter method. There are people that say, do this, this, and this. And, yeah, it might get you some success, but if you're going through your process and you're like, this really does not feel like me, you need to honor that. Because what ends up happening is you might go through the whole process and you're forcing it and you end up overwhelmed and burnt out at the end of it, whatever that process is. And you can look back on it and be like, okay, it was a lesson. I learned something, but was I really true to myself? Maybe not. And, yes, you know, if you're true to yourself, it could either, you know, be a slower time frame or it could accelerate rapidly in such a way that the external world will be like, how did she do that? She didn't follow the rules and do it by those steps. No, magic found her because she followed her heart. So
right.
I see it as a very gentle balance. And this is where the real deal and fabulous fate comes in. Is that you can follow someone's program and you can follow it to the T, but if it is not lighting you up and if it is not feeling in alignment, then you might not be getting the full 100% result that you're expecting. If you are in a program or, you know, with a coach or going through, you know, some kind of free guide that gives you all these points and you're going through it and each point is like it totally lights you up and gets you pumped, you are on the right path. You've either found the program for you or you found the coach for you or you found your connection you found your simpatico and you have to just go and go hard. When you do that, you will hit a major result. So it's really what it takes is to go inside and access that, you know, like the theme of the show, the real deal or the fabulous fake. Does this work for me? Does this not work for me? And why?
Mm-hmm.
The why is the most important reason. That's why, you know, like Therese said, I asked her why. I'm always asking why. I'm asking it of myself and I'm asking it of my clients because there's a lot of power in your answer to why. It can really motivate you forward, you know?
Yeah. Your why is connected to your purpose. I mean, they're almost interchangeable. Why and purpose, interchangeable.
Yep.
That right there is what's driving you. Like going back to really quickly to my own example of the types of artists there are, you know, and she's asking me, why do you think you have to do that to be successful? And I didn't have an answer. I just was like, well, that's just what I've seen people do. That's not a motivation to me. I'm not connected to that at all. But that's what I thought I had to do. Going back to my why do I make art? Because there's something inside of me that I have to express that can only be expressed through using my hands and paint and a canvas or whatever surface it is I want to work on. That's why I do it. I have to express this picture because I don't have words for it. If I have the words, I write it down. So that's a pretty powerful difference about why you're doing what you do. And yes, I want my work to sustain me financially. I want to be able to support my family and do my work, but I have to trust that there's a reason that I'm compelled to spend my time doing it this way and that there is a market for it.
Yes. And also process that you're going through is giving you whatever tools and strength you need for your next level, whatever that may be.
Right. Powerful stuff, guys.
Yep.
I will have a list for you. Hopefully later today or tomorrow, it'll be on our Facebook page for you to take and download, or you can save it to your phone or print it out and just have this list. And it's just a little check-in just to let you know if you're feeling in alignment with your real deal or if you're feeling fabulously fake. And ways you can shift back out of that.
That's the goods right there.
I love it when we have these like little pauses because it's so funny. We are in two different states, so we can't see each other. So this is that moment where we would be looking at each other and going, yes.
That's exactly it. Well, that's what we love about our Seriously Serious video is that we're on video, right?
Yes.
So, we can see each other and we can play.
Yes.
Blueberry coffee.
Yes, we have the blueberry coffee and Patrick Swayze episode is up on YouTube. So if you look for Seriously Serious.
Seriously Serious, I think it's like Patrick's, the Myrmecorns and Patrick Swayze. I think that's what it's called.
Myrmecorns and Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Find out how they're connected.
Exactly.
And you'll get to see our Myrmecorn, what is
oh,
it?
Oh, the Myrmecorn salute.
Yeah, the salute. You'll get to see how to do the secret handshake. Really good.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are winding down. We've got only a few more seconds left in the show here. Thank you for being with us today, and please reach out to us on Facebook. And we will be back with you next Thursday, same time. And have a lovely, fantastic day and week. Love and sparkles to all. Bye.
Bye.